U.S. Chess Executive Board Open Session Number 5, Saturday, November 10th, 2018, New Orleans, Louisiana. Mr. President?
Thank you for that short break, folks. We're back in session. What we've been doing is reviewing the referred motions. The review of delegate motions have been referred to the Executive Board. I think we have addressed all of them except one, and that I have put off intentionally to last, which is the concept of a promotional membership or proposal for a reduced price for prison membership. The motion that was made, which was a delegate's motion, meaning it was not an ADM, was made by Eric Vigil in Iowa, who is active in promoting prison chess. And he presented a motion proposed to have a regular prison membership available for $7 for the purpose of playing over-the-board tournaments behind bars. By way of explanation here, in our world, a regular membership means a membership that does not have a magazine. Premium memberships have a magazine. Regular memberships do not. What was going on? The reason why this came up is that Eric's program was actually getting scholastic vouchers from the Chess Trust and submitting them to the office for memberships for prisoners. Clearly, those memberships, when they were submitted, the people for whom they were submitted did not meet the age range for scholastic vouchers. You know, a 37-year-old is probably not an 11th grader. And evidently, former Executive Director Hall had blessed this circumvention of the rules. When it was discovered in the office that we were processing scholastic memberships for individuals who didn't appear to qualify for scholastic memberships, that practice got stopped, and then it came up. So I want to make it pretty clear, I don't think Eric was doing anything wrong. I'm not even going to say the Chess Trust was doing anything wrong. They had asked for an exception. It apparently had been approved by executive director. He's not available for us to ask. This had been a long-standing circumstance, but it's clearly not the right way to do business, in my opinion. So when this came up, I was not in favor of, and it couldn't have been done this way anyway. Memberships and all this stuff are written into the bylaws. I would rather, and I told Eric, I'd rather the board consider this as a promotional membership item. So that's why we're taking it up here. What I would propose we do is a voucher program like we do for scholastics for prison memberships. Under the group membership program that we do for scholastics, you got to buy a block of them in advance. They last a particular period of time. We have lower rates for buying more of them. I am not contemplating making it that complicated, because there is a portion of this, to me, that is community programming oriented. You know, if we can take guys behind bars, get them to think and plan stuff out a little bit better so that they don't walk in, so they make better choices when they get out, we're all better off for it. So Eric threw in a number that's $7. I don't think that works for us. As we have looked at some costs and some other things that we're doing, I think we're more in the $10 to $12 range. Our cheapest Scholastic voucher is $9. And we're still going to go through the cost of issuing these folks memberships and all this jazz. There's an extremely valid point that for many institutions, even if they got our magazine, they can't physically get it. Because a document which is bound with staples aren't allowed in most prisons. Because the metal becomes an opportunity to have a weapon. So a promotional membership through a prison voucher program where the membership does not include publications. I don't see why it's a problem for them to have online access to publications if the institution allows that. Most won't. But I don't see that that's a problem. If
it's not our problem.
It's not our problem. I don't know why we would try to restrict that. There's no reason to restrict that. And I don't think we have big purchase requirements on it. I don't think it has to be a prison affiliate. Why should we care? If Kentucky Chess Association or Chuck Unruh Chess wants to go out and buy 100 of these, or 10, or 6, and walk into the local reformatory for their program, why do we care? Because they can only be used for people who are in institutions. And part of the program of registering is we got to record what institution they're in. We do that now with prison memberships. And it's got to go through the office and we're identifying where the person is. So I don't know why we would need to change that. We essentially, as a promotional matter, essentially allow one without any magazine and we do it for $10 to $12.
What would this do to the prison membership currently in the bylaws?
It would stay there. And if someone wants to purchase that, that would be fine. They get a magazine with it.
And the control that the prison membership is not used for in a normal tournament is the institution?
I don't think we care.
No, what I'm saying is, let's say that somebody...
Yeah, I buy my membership a month before I get out of jail, and now I'm out of jail, and I'm...
I don't think we care.
We don't care. Small number.
I don't think we care. We had...
So if affiliate XYZ uses their prison membership in a regular tournament...
No, the guy, he's got to... They're going to have to fill up for the prison piece. Yep. So they send it in. They're going to have to send it in. It's going to have to identify the institution. Our existing prison membership, it identifies the prison.
Sure.
They're still going to have to register. They're going to have to send it in like a prison membership.
Right.
But if, is it going to be valid if they buy one and they give it to Fred and he's out of the joint in 3 months? Can he play... A month later when he goes, why not? I think he ought to be able to. I wouldn't want to restrict this to play in prison.
He's a member.
He's a member.
I was thinking of someone, a tournament director that got in a jam, I have these prison memberships over here, and XYZ wanted to play in my tournament that's never been a prisoner.
No, because it's got to be submitted to the office with where they are. Now, if somebody lies on it, That's an ethics issue.
Thinking about how they would game the system.
Lying that you're in prison.
Lying that you...
Well, keep in mind, this is not...
It's
not given to the prisoner directly. It's got to go through the person who's running the program.
Right. And they're not going to jeopardize their program.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't think that anyway.
But again, I don't see why we shouldn't allow... I just keep coming back to where I'm from. Okay. I don't know why Kentucky Chess Association couldn't do this. They're a state affiliate. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, I don't know why the Cardinal Chess Club, which is a college affiliate, couldn't do this. When my son was running that, if they wanted to do something with the Kentucky Reformatory, with a program with college students and stuff,
Why should we care?
Well, we don't have to, this doesn't have to go through an affiliate, does it?
If it's a voucher purchase, it does.
It does.
Affiliates are the only people who can purchase the vouchers in the Scholastic program.
Yeah, I'm not going to worry about it. I mean, county jail, it doesn't matter. Any place that is incarceration. So juvenile detention centers, whatever they'd like to do. Okay.
But I think that's, if you say, what's the control over it? That's why it's a voucher program.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's really designed for people who are running prison programs. Why do I want it to be that? So there's a support structure. So if we've got affiliate A that's doing a prison chess program, wouldn't it be cool? Now they've made contact with prisoner B. Now prisoner B gets out of the joint. He's still a member. Let's bring him to the club tournament. Let's bring him to the, you see what I'm saying?
I'm fine.
Now a year from now, he's out. He can't get a prison membership again because he's not there anymore. And when you go to renew it, he's going to have a different address. But all those prison memberships go through the office. You can't buy one online. The voucher still would do that. It would work exactly the same way the prison membership does today, administratively. Thoughts?
I mean, you've made two points of control on it. One is your affiliates.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is the office. I'm fine with that.
And I'm not putting any minimum purchase on this mm-hmm. son of a gun. And the price isn't cheaper if you buy 400 of them.
And what is the price?
$12.
$12.
Well, 10 to 12. I'm willing to be 10, but I think you and I talked about 12.
I'm okay with 12.
That's less than what we got today. And we're subsidizing the one we got today with the magazine. I'd be willing. I don't want to make it the cheapest membership we have. Lower than our most expensive Scholastic voucher membership, I think, is 13. And the cheapest Scholastic voucher membership program is 9. But I don't think we'll have a bunch of Scholastic players trying to get into prison to get a lower membership from 13 to 12. I don't have this written in the form of a motion. I'm just throwing it out there for discussion. Thoughts?
I think it's a good idea. We should encourage it.
I'm fine.
It's fine.
Okay. I'll tell you what we'll do. I'll take that general framework and we'll actually write a motion to that effect for consideration later in this meeting. Maybe not today. Because it's 3:30, but later in the meeting. And we'll get it approved before we leave. Is that cool?
Mm-hmm. I'm fine.
All righty. Moving backward, before we do that, I think we have addressed all of the delegate motions that have been referred to the executive board. We have... Does anybody see one we missed? I think we got all of them. That doesn't mean we've resolved 100% of them, but I think that was all of them. The other one was referred to the executive director, but I would like to discuss it because referring it to the executive director was probably inappropriate, in my opinion. To some degree. It's about hiring a technical director. The reason why it may not have been, it said recommend the executive board add and advertise for a staff position technical director if it determines that such an additional staff expense is financially viable. And it was added, then referred to the executive director. This really is an executive board sort of thing because we got to budget it. I'm putting you on the spot a little bit, Carol. Do you want to address some issues about this? And we haven't talked about this at all, so you may not be prepared to do this.
We have had circumstances in the office since we've had some changeover in people where, while we didn't have a technical director, we had some people with chess technical experience in there, like Frank, who's not there now.
So Boyd is largely filling that role right now. When a technical question comes in, either Judy, if it comes to her, she'll call Boyd and then communicate back, or Boyd will just handle it. So that's the way we're covering it right now. I mean, Boyd has a pretty full plate already.
And it's just gotten fuller.
Right. But he's willing, and I think he likes playing that role.
The motion proposes something beyond that. So what we're talking about is what happens when something happens in the office and it's just a more technical chess thing than what people in the office know. The motion says, basically, technical director would provide a review with recommendations to appropriate committees regarding official complaints filed with the office. Well, we're actually doing that with the board committee now. Investigate allegations of cheating or improper behavior. Do some investigative work for use of committees and appeals and complaints. Review player eligibility for invitations, top player list, Grand Prix, and other prize standings. Investigate allegations of improper actions by organizers or tournament directors. Review the monthly USCF FIDE rating list for anomalies. Review questions of policies and TLAs and other advertisements. We got people doing all those things.
So, yes and no. The investigative work, from what I understand, committees aren't even supposed to be doing the investigative work. They're supposed to rely on what's submitted in the form of a complaint and let that stand, right? So
yes.
That would be something that would go beyond what's currently being done anywhere within the organization. Some of these things are being handled as they come in. Investigating allegations of cheating. I think my understanding of the policy is if we weren't there running an event or we didn't have credible evidence from a TD that we were supervising at an event, that we don't get involved in anything unless a complaint is filed.
Right.
So this goes beyond, I think, what our current practice and maybe even policy would allow us to do.
In talking with Steve about this, I think there were some elements of it where he was thinking that perhaps a person who was available to intervene quicker might prevent certain complaints from being filed.
Right.
But I'm just not sure that's a place we want to be. Issues regarding player eligibility for invitations, top prayer lists, and all that kind of stuff, we actually are doing that. You know, we have a staff person who does that, is in charge of that, who actually...
She does a good job.
Yeah. Things about invitational lists are looked at. Certainly, player eligibility with regards to Scholastic stuff is falling under the Scholastic Council through their program. And sectioning and all that jazz. I understand, and we do need to have some staff people, some staff expertise that know something about chess. But I don't think we're at a point, I don't believe you're going to recommend us to add a staff position in the next budget for this.
That's correct.
And I don't think that we are in a position as a board where we're going to tell the executive director we think she should add one. I wanted to deal with this today because we're giving them direction to go work on the budget. So if we're thinking we want to budget this position, we need to tell her today.
Right.
See, I don't think we are. Is anybody jumping up and down to add? Okay.
No.
I don't see support for doing that then. The other items were actually all bylaws and committee related, and I think we've just let those things lie. The reference to the women's committee for the transgender policy, we sort of already dealt with that. they dealt with it by saying they weren't dealing with it particularly much. So that's all of those. Anybody think we need to stay there, or can I move on? I sent to you all by email a series of four motions. The first one is a surprise because we didn't talk about this specifically in Chuck's investment stuff. First motion, in accordance with the original motion which set up the reserve fund, I move to transfer $200,000 from the Regents Bank account to the reserve. I said reverse, I meant reserve fund, to increase that fund to $1.2 million. The original motion set a goal to make the reserve fund $1.2 million. Why is that a magic number? $1.2 million covers basically our office expenses for pretty well close to 6 months. And that was the goal. So, and this board, when it first set up the reserve fund, said with a goal of making it $1.2 million. At the end of October, after we have paid all the fee day stuff for all the fee day stuff, World Youth, World Cadet, Olympiad, with maybe a few straggling expenses, but not anything of consequence. At the end of October, we got $438,000 in the operating account and $575,000 at Regents. It's almost $1 million. We're coming into our largest membership renewal cycle. We're running 5% ahead of last year, cash on cash. I think we can
slide a few bucks.
I think we can move the 200 over there. And remember, we can always move it back if we need to, but from a
let it work for us,
for a let us work for us policy, since we're getting ready to start on this, from a symbolic thing, from a goal that this board set for itself, I think we can do that today. So my first motion would be to, let's just get her done. And if Mr. Secretary, if you please correct my typo and to the reserve fund to increase that fund to
reverse fund.
For future clarity, I also replaced I move to Alan Priest moves.
That's fine.
In each of these.
Any debate? All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed? Nay. Motion passes 6-0 with Mr. Bauer not voting. Motion number two. I move that we appoint a reserve fund, PPHB, Professional Player Health Benefits Fund, Investment Committee. The current members will be Vice President Finance Chuck Unruh, Ruth Herring, Jim Biedenbaugh, Peter Tyson, and Alan Priest. Alan Priest.
Dyson.
I'm sorry?
I think it's
Dyson.
Dyson.
Dyson. I'm sorry. That's
okay.
Correct.
You directed the motion. We can help a little.
I wrote it on the back of a napkin. Mr. Dyson, Chuck, and I are all on the LMA Investment Committee. Jim Biedenbaugh is our Finance Committee Chair at present. Ruth Herring has, of course, we know Ruth here. She's a former president. She's involved as our zonal president, and she is wanting to be involved in our investment committees and has a lot of experience in the area.
And Jim Biedenbaugh is on the LMA.
In
so
the LMA Investment Committee. Okay. And the purpose of this committee will be just like we do it in the LMA. These people approve the investment plans and review stuff. That's what it amounts to. So I would appoint that committee. Any questions? We are not limiting it to five. It could be more, but from a practical standpoint, 5 to 7 is about where it needs to be.
In the discussion, I have contacted each one of these individuals, and they have said they would serve.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Let the record reflect that the motion passes 6-0 with Randy Bauer not voting. Third motion. I move to transfer the PPHB certificate of deposit, once it matures, to the reserve fund PPHB investment account. The PPHB checking account will remain intact at present. The checking account at the end of October hit 30 grand. The CD is at 105. And so there's no reason. We got three full, and it grows about 10 grand a year. We got three full benefits sitting there. We can always move it back if we need to. And I think we can make that work better than a CD at the bank. The idea would be leave $30,000 in the checking account. Any questions or debate? I do not know when it matures, it's been no more than a year, so it.
It's got some runtime left.
It may have some, but I mean we've never had it more than a year.
I fully anticipate Ameritrade working with us.
Yeah.
In case they don't, we will start soliciting actual banks.
Yeah.
And secondly, Ameritrade, this is one of the accounts I suggested to them. They could do me a favor by providing free service to 16 accounts. And this is one I listed, and they approved that. So there are no fees in our account.
So all in favor of transferring the PPHB certificate of deposit to this account for investment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Let the record reflect that the vote was 6-0 with Randy Bauer not voting. Motion number 4. Then I move that we authorize the Reserve Fund PPHB Investment Committee to invest the Reserve Fund PPHB investment account in accordance with the investment plan outlined by Chuck Unruh. The committee will have the authority to buy and sell investments within that portfolio and grant the portfolio manager trading authority within the investment plan. The portfolio manager, Chuck. So what we've been doing in the LMA committee is we approve the general portfolio. We don't vote on every single trade. Chuck does those, tells us what he's doing. We review them as we go. We'll make shifts in policy from time to time as investment pieces change. And those plans are approved about every 3 or 4 months. Mm-hmm. We shift it around a little.
Every month,
reports every month.
We produce a document from Ameritrade.
Yeah.
That goes to the office and goes to each person on the committee.
So the statements are going out to God and everybody.
Yes.
You know, so it's not a matter of the person who's trading it being able to fiddle around with it, because those documents are going straight from Ameritrade to folks. Any discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Let the record reflect the vote 6-0 with Randy Bauer not voting. Okay, I think that resolves that issue. Chuck, was there anything else that you thought we needed to resolve in that area?
No, I think that your motion grants us the flexibility that we need to cost average in and actually dispose of non-performing assets. So.
And then I have committed before we get done to write one more motion, right, about the prison, to outline the prison promotional membership issue. Okay. Good enough. Let me make a note so I don't forget to do that. All right. We've been in open session all day. Part of me would like to stay in open session and deal with 4B, but I want Randy to be a part of that. So I'm going to move 4B to tomorrow when Randy's on the phone. That would mean I think we have completed the major items of our open agenda, and so therefore I am going to move that we move the meeting into closed session to consider the closed agenda items. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Seeing no objection, the meeting will move into closed session.